to stand with us if you like, and let's do one verse of number four. Do the first verse, number four. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
I would like to ask for your prayers today as I try to bring before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I want to call your attention to the five verses of Scripture that make up the 100th Psalm. Please, if you'd like to read along with me, please turn to Psalm 100, and we'll begin reading there and read those five verses. Psalm 100 begins by saying, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And what a lovely psalm. How many wonderful things are said and recorded just in that very short psalm that once it was in the translation was broken down into verses, only took five verses to encompass the entire psalm. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, bless his name. Well, why? Why should we do that? Well, because the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. And no parent has ever been as good to their children as God is to his children. No parent has ever been able to bless their children the way that the Lord can. And I want to speak to you for a little while this morning. I want to use this title, "With Gladness of Heart." With gladness of heart. And certainly today, you know, there are a lot of people that there's a lot of superficial happiness in the world today. I think we all know that that's true. There's a lot of people that'll get excited, and they'll, get happy And they'll get on an emotional high about a lot of different things. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody on the face of the earth that has the gladness in their heart that the people of God have.
Amen.
I mean, God has given us something unique, and I'm thankful that he will give it to anybody that comes to him seeking him for salvation. Friend, I'll tell you what, today God will make you glad. If you'll come, as I said earlier, if you'll come and repent of your sins and trust the Lord with all your heart, he'll save your soul and he'll give you gladness of heart. But, you know, the Bible says a lot, especially in the Old Testament. The Bible really says a lot about gladness. I mean, we might just think of glad or gladness or, you know, something like that, and we may not, we may think of that just as a word that we may use from day to day and not really think that much of it, but there's a lot of scripture that deals with gladness, especially people being glad in their hearts. I've heard songs, you know, oh say, but I'm glad, just, you know, different types of songs that have been written through the years about the gladness that people have in their heart that know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin. In the 100th Psalm here, we are told, and this is what I really wanted to ask you to focus on today, because in the second verse of the psalm that I read, it said, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve him with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Now, something else that you'll find, if you were to go and say, you know, the preacher today was talking about gladness and talking about Old Testament scriptures, and if you were to take that and begin to look them up, you will find several scriptures that connect two words together, and that they are gladness and joy. There's a lot of verses, as I said, especially in the Old Testament, that talk about having gladness and joy. And it's really interesting because when you look at those verses, though both of those words are contained in the same verse, in the same passage of Scripture, yet they were taken from the exact same Hebrew word. The Hebrew word that was used for gladness was also used for joy. But what is it? What is gladness? What does it mean to be glad? And I just looked at that Hebrew word and some of the words that were used to define it and to describe it. Gladness is joy. And as I said, a lot of times you see those verses used together, or those words used together in one verse, but another word for gladness is joy. Gladness is rejoicing. Now, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people today poke fun. A lot of people think that this is silly. A lot of people accuse the children of God of just working things up. But, you know, one of the words defining gladness is shouting. If you go to that Hebrew word from which the word gladness was derived, you'll find that one of the words that define gladness is shouting. Shouting. One of the words used to define gladness is singing. We heard read here in this 100th Psalm in verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Glad songs. Happiness in your heart when you sing the songs of Zion. Triumph is a word used in defining gladness. Glee, G-L-E-E, glee, and also pleasure. All these words are used in the definition of the word gladness. But the Bible tells us to serve the Lord with gladness. And that's certainly the way that God would have us as his people, That's the way that God would have us to serve Him. God does not want us to serve Him begrudgingly, does He? You know, when we have something, when we are called upon to do something for the Lord, God doesn't want us to say, well, I guess I'll have to if nobody else will. I guess I'll do that, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's not what I want to do. God doesn't want us to render our service to Him in that way. The Bible tells us that we are to serve the Lord with gladness. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you have the opportunity to do something for the Lord, you know, sometimes, and I notice this in the ranks of missionary Baptist people, sometimes when somebody makes it known to their church that they have been called by God to preach, sometimes there'll be people that go, oh, no. Oh, man, you're in for it, you know? But let me tell you something. Being called of God to preach is not a bad thing.
Amen.
It's a wonderful thing. And Paul expressed his thankfulness for that. And he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Now, you know, I've told you my experience before in my calling, and I certainly didn't choose that job for myself. We're not supposed to choose for ourselves. We're supposed to let the Lord do the choosing. But God called me for that purpose, and He put me into the ministry. And I can relate to what Paul said in being thankful that God put me into the ministry. And so, you know, I have asked the prayers of people for many years when I stand to preach and concerning the ministry in general. I don't want to do, if God helped me to avoid it, I don't ever want to do anything to bring reproach upon the ministry. I need your prayers, and I need God's protection. Brother Wheat made it known to us again this morning that we're all capable. I mean, we are very capable of sin. We're very capable of doing things that will, you know, destroy our influence with people and ruin us in that way. But I'll tell you what, I believe that you have a lot better chance of staying close to God and staying in the center of His will if you'll serve the Lord with gladness than if you serve Him begrudgingly. You know, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. We ought to be, you know, in our hearts, those of us that have been saved by the grace of God, we have been given a gift like no other gift has ever been able to come close to. I mean, we've been given the greatest gift that anybody could receive, and we ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to be the most joyous people in the world. We as the children of God, we have got more reason to rejoice over the fact that we have been redeemed, that we have been saved by the grace of God. I'll tell you, if you've been saved, you've got more reason to rejoice over that than the man that just won $18 million on the lottery. Amen. I guarantee you that. You've got more than what he's ever going to have with that money. And so, you know, it shouldn't be any problem for us to be the happiest people in the world, to be the most thankful people in the world. And it shouldn't be a thing that we do with regret. We ought to be able to serve the Lord with a happy heart and a glad heart because of what He has done for us. You know, you'll find that exact statement made if you look at the 126th Psalm and verse 3. It simply says this, "The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." You know, when we come together here, if you listen to the testimonies, when we assemble here in our services and we begin to testify, you're going to hear a pattern in that. You're going to hear people that are going to stand up from time to time, and they're going to relate their experience of salvation. And somewhere in the course of that experience, they're going to express a gratitude towards God. today for all the money in the world, all the wealth of this world, all the temporal possessions of this world are going to perish here in just a little while. And, you know, if we are among those that are alive and remain at his coming, the Bible tells me that the elements, even the elements, are going to melt with a fervent heat. The earth and the works therein are going to be burned up. And those things that we have that are tangible, that are material, that we can touch, that we can see, those things are going to be done away with. But when, you know, when I called up on the name of the Lord for the salvation of my soul, he put something in my heart that gave me great gladness. And when I leave this life, I'm taking it with me.
Amen.
I'm taking salvation with me when I go. So God has done great things for us, whereof we ought to be very, very glad. I bet that I'd venture to say that brother and sister Wheat and their family have a great gladness in their heart this morning. Got to hear another one of their family testify about the saving grace of God. I'm sure that Sister Caroline's parents and her her siblings are thankful for what God has done for them. I mean, you know, sometimes, and I know that we all become guilty of this, sometimes we have pity parties, don't we? We murmur and we complain and we whine about this and we whine about that. Sometimes even Christian people begin to think about the things that they don't have. And listen, when you get like that, the best thing you can do for yourself is just open your eyes and look at what God has given you.
Amen.
Look at what he's blessed you with. You know, God has done great things for us. Let us be glad. Let us be thankful. Let us rejoice. Let us shout. Let us sing. Brethren, listen. Brother Strode, Brother Sanford, Brother Joey, whoever, or whoever, Sister Maddie, or whoever stands up to sing, when you stand up to lead the singing, we shouldn't just be there to sing a song. We ought to be doing what the Bible says. We ought to be singing those songs with gladness in our heart because of what the Lord has done for us. And we shouldn't just be singing hymns. We ought to be singing praises to the Lord. You ever seen somebody sit back with their songbook and they say, "Oh, one, two, three, four." You know, it shouldn't be like that, should it? Shouldn't be with that attitude. I don't think the singing of hymns was ever intended to be done with that type of attitude. We're singing with gladness of heart. Lift our voices to the Lord. It's not about what our voices sound like. You know, sometimes we struggle with the temptation to not make it about that, but it's not what our voices sound like. It's not how talented that we may be. Listen, it has never been talent that wins the day. It's a heart that serves the Lord with gladness. It sure is. I stood a couple of times. Brother Strode mentioned this at our third Sunday night singing. I've had the privilege to stand a couple times up there at the nursing home, and I stand right next to Brother Strode and sing, and I'm sure I mess him up big time. But my heart is happy. It's happy. When I think about the things that are written in those treasured hymns, think about, you know, how that those hymns speak to us about heaven and about the glory of God and about the salvation of our soul and about that Jesus that died on the cross for us that didn't owe us anything at all so that he could make it possible for us to be saved. Friends, listen, if that won't give you gospel bumps, I don't know what will. And when we get, when we can't be happy, when we can't be glad in the Lord, we need to just come before Him and repent and get rid of whatever it is that's holding us back so that we can serve the Lord with gladness of heart. Do you think this is important to God? Oh, I'm going to prove to you from the scriptures just how important that it is to God. You look at the 27th and 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and there's a long list of curses in that 27th chapter. There's a long list of curses that are mentioned there. And in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, those curses were brought upon the children of Israel. Why do you suppose that they experienced those multiple curses? We'll look at the verse, Deuteronomy 28, verse 47. Because, now this verse is going to tell us why those curses, not just one curse, but a multitude of curses were brought upon the children of Israel. And this one verse is going to tell us why. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. What did the psalmist say there in Psalm 126 and 3? Again, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. In Deuteronomy 28, 47, he makes mention of the abundance of things that had been bestowed upon them. And God brought curses upon them because in the abundance of these things, they did not serve the Lord with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. You know, and it... Listen, that is true for every aspect in which we worship the Lord. You know what God, the Bible teaches us this very plainly. You know what God expects us to do when we give our financial offering to the Lord? He expects us to give it cheerfully. Cheerfully. Not grudgingly. You know, not, when they come around and take up an offering for the church, you're not supposed to. What we had. We're not to give to the Lord and say, boy, I wish I had that back because look what went on sale yesterday. I mean, we are to give cheerfully to the Lord. God doesn't want things that we begrudge. And I'll tell you what, I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that when we give, if we do give in that way, I'm convinced that, you know, that the church may take that money, they may use it, but I'll tell you what, if you give anything to the Lord begrudgingly, God's not going to bless you for that. He won't bless you for that. Give cheerfully unto the Lord. Why? Because the Lord loves a cheerful giver. We are to serve Him with great gladness and great joy in our heart. I want to use another psalm, Psalm 4, verses 6 through 8. It tells us that there be many that say, who will show us any good? There will be many ask the question, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. How many of you today know what it's like? How many, you know what? I have heard this testified about among the people of God ever since, as far back as I can remember. How many of you here today can lay your head down on your pillow at night and close your eyes in peace and know in your heart that if I don't wake up here anymore, that's fine. I'll wake up in a better place. That's a place. to lay down and say, well, that's all right. You know, if it gets serious in the middle of the night and I go home to be with God, hey, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? What a blessing it will be to be with Him. You know, we don't have any, folks, listen, we don't have one thing to fear. I want to promise you today, and I want to comfort you and assure you today with this. If you have been saved, there is not one thing to fear in death. Nothing. It won't do you harm in any way at all. Don't worry. Don't fret. Just resolve to allow God, you know, just, I mean, it doesn't matter anyway. Job said when he calls, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer. When the Lord calls, I'm going to answer. I want to get to this before I have to stop. In 2 Chronicles 29, we have the account of Hezekiah coming and repairing the house of the Lord because their forefathers had, they had shut up the doors. They had stopped burning the incense. They had stopped making the offerings. And Hezekiah, when he became king, he immediately began to, you know, tear down the high places and get rid of the idolatry that was there. And he began to repair the house of the Lord. And he opened the door. He repaired the doors of the house of God. And the priests and the Levites, they went in and they cleansed the temple. And they offered sacrifices to God. And at the end of that, at the end of the offering of the sacrifices, the Bible says that Hezekiah commanded the Levites to sing. To sing. And they sang praises. Listen to this. They sang praises with gladness and bowed their heads and worshiped. Now, I believe that anybody that leads our singing would feel this way. I know if I did, I would. What a blessing it must be when you stand up in front of you know, the congregation. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful blessing to me when I can see the countenance on the face of people that God lets me know through that there's something being said that means something to somebody, that the Lord is being honored in that. And you know, sing with gladness. Testify with gladness. Take up the offering with gladness. Preach with gladness. Serve the Lord in whatever capacity you serve Him from a glad, joyous, happy heart because of the great things that God has done for us. And I'm going to close with this scripture, and I'm not going to hold you any longer. Remember reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 where Paul's talking about the resurrected body? And he says that which is mortal must put on immortality, that which is corruptible must put on incorruption. And he said when these things happen, then it'll be not brought to pass the same. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is that sting? And you go there to 1 Corinthians 15, and you'll find that when Paul says that, he's speaking about something that is written. It is written, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You ever gone back and studied and read where it was written? Listen to this from Isaiah chapter 25, verses 8 and 9. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, This is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Amen. Amen. I could just sometimes, I think about old Simeon, how happy he was, how glad he was when God fulfilled his promise to him. God had made it known to him through the revelation of the Holy Spirit that he wasn't going to die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And Jesus, as an 8-day-old baby, his parents bringing him there to the temple, and that old priest seeing that baby, and he was so glad and joyous in his heart, it made him so content, he just said, Lord, I'm ready to go. Lord, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, we're here in this world. We're waiting on the Lord, aren't we? We long to see him and to look upon his face. I know I do, and I believe that others do, just like I do. So, you know, when we serve the Lord, let's listen to the word. Let's do it by the book. Let's serve him with gladness. Let's serve him with joy. Let's not serve the Lord begrudgingly. You know what? I believe that every one of us here today, as members of the Lord, as members of this local body, I believe that every one of us are bound by duty to the Lord to be here. We are bound by duty to come together and assemble. We are bound by duty to keep the lights burning. We are bound by duty to keep these doors open. We are bound by duty to see the financial upkeep of the church. We are bound by duty to see that the gospel goes out from this place. We have a duty to the Lord in all those things. But if you don't ever do anything in service to God that's prompted by anything other than duty, then you miss the point. It ought to be our love for the Lord and what he's done for us. It drives us to serve him with love. We shouldn't just serve the Lord out of duty, even though it is our duty. We ought to serve him and honor him in our lives because we love him, because he's done great things for us, whereof we sure are glad. I'm glad today. I'll just tell you, I'm glad to be a child of God. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that more than anything else in the world. I'm thankful that, as I said, I'm thankful that God was willing to take me and use me in the ministry. You know, if God is willing to use you in any way, you ought to be thankful to the Lord that he's willing to give you something to do in his service, because it's all important. I'll tell you what, it's important to God. It's important to God that we do the things that he would have us to do with joy and gladness in our hearts. I appreciate your attention today, and I pray God's richest blessings be upon you and upon your families. This morning, and I just want to share this with you before I close. This morning, when Jeremy called me, and he said they were taking Brittany in right away to do a C-section. I knew that something, you know, there must be a reason why they were doing that. And so it was 4:30 in the morning, and I got up, and I just talked to God. I mean, isn't it great? Isn't it great to have the Lord to talk to? I mean, I was there by myself, and I just talked to God. I just talked to the Lord, and I just asked the Lord. I mean, you know what? There's nothing I can do about it. not a thing I can do about it. There are so many situations that come up in my life. There have been so many situations that came up in my life. My kids were growing up, you know, spiritual things. And they, there wasn't anything I could do about it. There wasn't a thing that I could do about it. But I always knew something. And isn't it great to know the Lord? Boy, you just stop and monitor that for a little while. Come and think about it, man. What a blessing to be saved. What a blessing to have God as our Father. And to have His leadership. And to have His... Well, I'll tell you what, when you're hurting and you begin to pray and God begins to comfort you, I mean, there's nobody else that can comfort you like that. Just turn it over to the Lord and what a blessing to know the Lord. So thank you for your attention. I'm glad that I know God and the pardon and forgiveness of sin. So we want to go downstairs for a meal and a time of fellowship. And again, I want to ask you to remember the service tonight. And again, please, if you're here visiting with us today, please stay. If you can, please stay and have a meal with us. We're going to stand and have a song or two. It will take them just a few minutes to get things ready down there, probably about 8 or 10 minutes to get things ready. So anybody have a word? If not, let's... God bless you, brother. Appreciate the good talk. Bless you, Sister Collins. Let's remember these requests. Pray for them. I'd like to to ask everyone to stand, if you would. We're going to have a verse or two of a song. If you want to shake hands with someone or feel like you want to hug somebody's neck or something, just go ahead and do that while we have this song, and then we'll have the benediction and the blessing over the food and go down for the meal. So, Brother.